This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Malaysia has pushed plans to build our first nuclear power plants to 2030 instead of the initial target of 2021, citing concerns regarding the readability of the federal government and Malaysians to embrace the new form of energy for the country. Malaysia Nuclear Power Corporation says that the postponement was done after taking into consideration Japan's 2011 Fukushima nuclear meltdown. The company will also use the extra time to address negative perceptions from the public against the construction of these power plants and aim to enhance the safety aspects involved. So, let's talk about alternative energy. Instead of harnessing nuclear energy for electricity, a small startup company in Portland, Oregon called Lucid Energy devised a much clever way using hydro turbines. Essentially, they created these specially made turbines and installed them in drinking water pipes around town and let gravity do all the work. Lucid Energy has created the first hydroelectric system designed to harness the energy in gravity-fed drinking water pipes throughout Portland. In an interview with PBS NewsHour, Lucid Energy CEO and President Greg Semler explains how they did it and how it has been successful.
There's no mystery to what we're trying to do. We're just recovering energy that's embedded in the flow of the water. The advantage of the Lucid pipe system is that we produce electricity all the time, around the clock, without any environmental impact. So it's very unusual to find sources of energy that you can produce electricity without any environmental impact in today's world. When you compare the cost of the Lucid pipe power system with other traditional sources of renewables like wind and solar, to generate the same amount of energy that Lucid is generating would cost three or four times more for the same amount of energy.
Portland General Electric, the town's utility provider, has agreed to buy the energy at the same price as other renewable energy sources for the next 20 years. Hydroelectric power is getting attention from scientists and investors. Some companies are even developing turbines to harness the power of tides. Portland State University Vice President Jonathan Fink studies urban sustainability issues. He thinks Lucid's technology will contribute to more efforts and move away from non-renewable energy sources.
In Portland, as an example, we get a lot of our energy from a coal-fired power plant 200 kilometers east of here. That's not great. So how do we replace that? We're not going to replace it with one big nuclear power plant. We're going to replace it with a lot of conservation, a lot of smaller steps like what Lucid is doing with solar, with wind. What has to happen nationally and globally is each city does these experiments, figures out what works, and then they have to exchange that information. And then you add it all up, and cities can really save a lot of energy.
But can we do this back home with our dams and rivers? Dr. Nahrul Khair Alang Rashid is an expert in nuclear engineering at the International Islamic University, Malaysia. He says there is a possibility in using water as a source of energy, but insists nuclear is more suitable for long-term uses.
Well, we have to look at this not from just nuclear power point of view, but from the energy perspective, I guess, yeah. Because the benefit will be a security of energy. So we don't need to worry about energy supply because we keep on developing and demand increasing. And as we know, development is tied very closely to energy consumption. You can look, for example, in the U.S., the electricity consumption per capita or per person is about 1.4 kilowatt. Korea about 880 or 900, and we are at 300 something. So I'm sure this will be increasing with the rate of progress, not only here but in our region. Since we don't have any shortage of electricity, we don't see actually the advantage. Sometimes we see the advantage of certain things only when it went wrong, isn't it? Yeah.
Is it safe?
Yeah, it is. It is safe. Yeah, we have now around more than 400 nuclear reactors operating in the world. Of course, we have accidents, but bearing the numbers and using technology as old as in the 70s and 50s, I think it is safe, yeah.
I think the concerns that an average Malaysian has is the confidence of our government in handling such energy. Are we ready?
The public need to be assured of the capability of the local experts to handle such a technology. But I think with all the trainings and the experience that we have running the research reactor at Nuclear Malaysia for the past 33 years, and the number of people training it, we'll be able to come up with the adequate manpower and expertise to handle it. Yeah.
Why do you think nuclear has such a bad reputation, Doctor?
Well, one thing is that before Hiroshima and Nagasaki, nobody know about nuclear, isn't it? And after that, people know about it. But they know about it from the ugly side of the nuclear. And from then on, there is the control of the technology by the superpowers, and as well as the race, atomic weapon race, that we remember after that. So the issue of nuclear as weapons somehow getting stronger from that. When some people are excluded from having the technology for fear that they will exploit it for military purposes.
So, Doctor, why do we need nuclear per se? Don't we have enough natural resources?
Yeah, we have, but the natural resources is not adequate to supply our need. Yeah. Let's say, for example, today, if you look at the statistic, about half of the electricity need of the country is supplied using coal. We don't have coal, actually. We imported all of them. And about 45% more is using gas, natural gas. The rest is hydro and a little bit renewable here and there. So this is not adequate. That is one thing. Secondly, is that every type of energy sources has a different characteristic. Some is good for some kind of operation. Another is good for another type of operation. And the type of operation for which they are good at depends on what kind of load do we have. Is it heavy industry? Is it just lightings for buildings? And so on and so forth. So by having a variety of energy sources, we can plan the energy consumption in a much better way, in a more optimal way.
Is it expensive to build these nuclear power plants?
Yeah, the longer we wait, the more expensive it is. Yeah, it's the several billions ringgit, maybe 10.
The NGO said that to build these plants is a waste of taxpayer money because it costs 20 billion ringgit, whereas we already have a plan to save energy. So they don't see a need to have this, because why would you spend 20 billion ringgit and build this plant when you can use the money and teach the public to conserve energy?
I think there must have been scenario analysis for this kind of situation, in which case when we have a saving, that means control demand, isn't it? Yeah. Reduce demand, and whether that is adequate to offset the shortage on supply in the future. So based on that result, probably we find that nuclear is still needed. But of course, that does not mean that when we have a lot of electricity, we can forget about energy saving. Energy saving should be there irrespective of what is the plan on generation. So why waste if you can save, isn't it?
The World Nuclear Symposium called for states to phase out and eliminate the use of nuclear power for energy because there are other alternatives. What's your response to that?
Yeah, I think the World Nuclear Symposium must be organized by this association that is called the World Nuclear Association, I guess, WNA. But WNA is gaining membership. So I guess it is not quite sure which World Nuclear Symposium that called out to eliminate the use of nuclear power. Because the WNS is looking forward to the renaissance of nuclear energy rather than phasing it out. And if there are alternatives as well, they should coexist, I think. Because there is no single energy source that can fulfill the whole demand. We cannot fulfill the whole need using, let's say, for example, only hydro or only coal. Of course, if you use coal, there will be the GHG emission and so on and so forth. But we cannot rely just on solar and so on and so forth. If you look at the GHG emission level, the nuclear is about the same like hydro, but lower than solar. Yeah? So we have to anticipate further ahead. If further ahead, we think that there will be certain things that may happen that we have to take action now, because the window of planning for nuclear power is very long, 10 years, 15 years, especially for newcomer countries like Malaysia, then we have to start very early.
That was former Deputy Director General of Malaysian Nuclear Agency, Dr. Nahrul Khair Alang Rashid. And earlier, you heard from Lucid Energy CEO Greg Semler and Portland State University Vice President Jonathan Fink. BFM has tried to get in touch with the Malaysian Nuclear Power Corporation for a comment, but we have yet to get any response from them. I'm Aisha Tajuddin reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.